And welcome to the Deal With It podcast, where we discuss one theological topic or issue every week. But this time we're not going to be discussing a theological topic per se, but we're going to be talking about the Reformed Collective, which I now have the privilege of blogging on. It's a new collection of Reformed blog writers. It's a pretty cool deal. Here I have with me, apparently my title is the executive director, and then I have with me, Jason, what's your title?
Senior Managing Editor.
Senior Managing Editor. So we have these fancy titles, but really, I mean, you know, we're just a couple of goofballs wanting to...
I mean, yeah, that's what every title is ever, though. I mean,
yeah, pretty much, yeah. That's true, but yeah, so we decided to start this thing, and I think it's had a really good turnout thus far, especially considering the amount of writers who have been interested in kind of gathering together and putting their blog posts all in one place. That's what it is. I mean, it's virtually just a collection of writers and blogs. It's a resource, and that's our vision, right?
Oh yeah, it's we got a lot of good writers writing for us, and hopefully more to come.
How many writers do you think we're going to be able to have ever?
Oh man, well right now we officially have 9, one of which is the infamous Turretin fan.
Oh yeah,
which is pretty sweet.
Yeah,
that dude's got some rocking stuff.
Yeah, you know he still has yet to put on his first post.
Well, I mean we've kind of only been open for a day, so, I mean...
Right, this is a new thing. It's actually brand new, but it's been in the works for a little while, maybe like a month.
Yeah, I mean, me and you had been talking about it for maybe 3 months. I mean, yeah. Right when I got onto your, you know, Seeing God Ministries blog, and we just had a vision to get something else done, so...
Which, on that note, the Seeing God Ministries, which is not really a ministry, but the Seeing God website and the blogs are pretty much eventually going to get absorbed into the Reformed Collective, because really to keep up with two lines or venues of blogs is kind of a challenge, especially with the podcast and everything else. So eventually I just plan to blog all on the Reformed Collective. And then hopefully one day, God willing, the podcasts will be on there too. And when I say podcasts, plural, that's allowing for any of our writers who may have podcasts as well to bring that to the Reformed Collective.
Man, we get to be like a mega church or something.
It kind of is. You know, for somebody who's not post-millennial, this is surely a dat post-mill kind of a thing.
Don't you give in, Josh. Don't you give in.
We're taking over the internet.
I guess I would say that God is preserving his remnant. That's how I'd put it.
That is very true. You know, so you were just on the podcast the other day. Yesterday?
Yeah, no, I just got to do some silly trivia. It was pretty great. I basically got to... ask Les and Tanner some questions about the Southern Baptist Convention, which I feel like they didn't really know or really want to know. I feel like they kind of see the SBC as this Arminian entity that hates Calvinists. But
hey, but that's not true. It's mixed company there in the SBC.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you look at all the, you know, the top leadership of the different entities, like, you know, you got the International Mission Board. You got the president of that is David Platt, very, very Calvinist.
Yeah.
And then you got guys like Russell Moore of the Gospel Coalition, who are the head of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. And gosh, the Kentucky State Convention just voted in pretty Calvinist guy from Louisville, Kentucky. His opponent, if you ever go on to James White's dividing line.
Yeah.
James White does kind of like a response to the guy who lost in the Kentucky State Convention.
Right.
He basically was saying that the other guy shouldn't win because it's like the newfangled Calvinism out of Louisville, as if Calvinism's this new thing in the SBC.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not, though. When you get around it, I mean, my school that I'm transferring to is technically SBC, but when you get around it, it's actually more Reformed thought is more pervasive than anything else at that school. And I assume it's somewhat the same at your school as well.
Somewhat. The professors, it's not so much. It's not really a big issue until we get down to things like the limited atonement.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people, you know, basically light each other on fire. But I mean, it's within the student body, at my school, that's a Southwestern. We're pretty amicable towards each other, whether it be, you know, hey, like I'm fully Reformed, or I'm kind of sort of Reformed, or I, you know, don't like Calvinism at all. We all get together and we, you know, we all love the Lord together. So
that's good. So let's get back to the Reform Collective. So
that thing.
So that thing that you know, kind of the thing that we purposed this whole episode for. The writers. So we have 9 in all right now, and the cool thing about that is the fact that the Reform Collective is supposed to be a resource site, a resource center. I don't want to say center. It's not like a building or anything. But, you know, if people have questions concerning the Reformed faith, I mean, our goal is to have it be where if somebody is questioning the Reformed faith or has questions pertaining to that theological system of thought, they can come on the Reformed Collective and search the Reformed Collective and find answers that they need to via the numerous amounts of blog posts that will be there. And the cool thing about it is, man, we only have 9 writers, and we only have, how many has actually posted? Maybe 4 have posted so far?
4, but we've got another 2 that are planning on doing it within the next day or two, and then once the blogs start kicking off, it'll be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we already have like over, how many posts? 8 or 9 posts, and I mean, that's just within the matter of a couple of days, and so... Mm-hmm. And that's only like four people who have posted so far. So once everybody begins to post on there, all 9, and then new writers come in and begin to post on there, the rate that we post new material is gonna be quite high. And then people are gonna be able to find some pretty good answers to their questions. Hopefully, that's our prayer to that. Now, what about the deal with new writers?
New writers. Oh yeah. Well, I guess you could say that me and you were kind of just tweaking the system of figuring out how to go about that. But, I mean, we kind of have an open invitation right now. Just got a page on the collective that just says, hey, become a contributor. So you put in your number, your name, your email address, and like why you want to be a part of the collective.
Exactly.
Kind of like a pre-screening interview. And then I believe we said that 3 of the writers are all going to sit down with the applicant and, you know, just talk about theological convictions, you know, about the confessions and, you know, see if they're a good fit for writing and all that stuff. So,
and I think that's good too. I think the way that we have that structured is going to be just swell, because I mean, you go on there, you fill out an application, you take a little pre-screening assessment, and then that's sent to the writers who are existing already, the existing writers. And then basically with the decision of a plurality, will come to a conclusion, whether or not they'll write for us or not. But it is an open invitation, and we're always going to be looking for writers. I mean, this is something that we want to continue building. It's not something that we have a cap for. We're not like, oh, we have a goal of 20 writers, and once we get to 20 writers, that's it. I mean, my vision, I don't know about yours, but I've seen it as being sort of when we get to 20 writers, we want more writers. I mean, we're going to continue building this thing until we just have, you know, hundreds of posts and new posts coming out every day, and people can just get on there and search, you know, whatever question they'll have.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would say that the cap, now you were saying like some people would think that the cap is about 20 people.
Yeah.
I was thinking about maybe 20,000, maybe 20 million. I mean, if we're really going to give into that whole post-mill concept, I mean, there's got to be 20 million riders.
It's got to be, well, I think a little more than that. So, well, now that we kind of touched on the future of this thing, there's kind of things that we want to do with it as time progresses, because there's no reason why it has to stop at blogging either, you know, since we're basically converting to postmillennialism. You know, we need to move on, you know, we need to get into like the publishing industry. We need to get into, like you said, you know, podcasts and radio shows, you know, we just everywhere. TV, we're going to have a TV channel.
No, yeah, we're actually going to buy out TBN.
Oh, praise God. That would be awesome if we could buy out TBN one day.
If we could buy out TBN, I would like for real become postmill and I'd become a theonomist. if we're being real here, all right.
Oh man, and then you'd run for president.
I would run for president, and I would run as a Democrat.
What?
I mean, if we're talking about outlandish things already,
run as a. How about you just run as an independent?
Oh, I don't know which ones. I don't know which one will get me farther.
So no, but realistically speaking, though, I mean. You know, we do want to do podcasts. We want to have the blogs coming in also. But we know that some of our writers obviously do or have podcasts. And so it would be cool to have those on there as well. Now, this is something that just popped into my mind, actually. Jason, what if we had a Reform Collective podcast? Like it was...
Like a podcast for like all of us? Or like 30,000 million of us just sit down...
At the same time. Yeah. And it's just a...
I think we need to cut down on the numbers, but I like the idea.
Yeah, exactly. No, but, I mean, a Reformed Collective podcast could maybe just alternate through our writers as guests. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I like
and
that
And so each writer would come through as a guest each week, or each, however, you know, whatever the rate was. That's kind
of...
Yeah,
no, that sounds like a great idea. That sounds a lot like what they do... The Gospel Coalition podcast, or is that copyright? I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
Well, I mean, as long as we ascribe credit to the Gospel Coalition, boom.
Okay, copyright 2016, or yeah, Tim Kelly, T.A. Carson, whatever.
Black and green, you know, cool. So that would be cool, and I think that, you know, that would be something in addition to people's individual podcasts. Obviously, people's going to have individual podcasts that they're going to want to put on there if any of our writers... do have podcasts, and I think that's extremely edifying, because some people like to listen rather than read, and you know,
yeah,
those of us who don't read blogs and listen to podcasts instead, that would be an excellent. I'm kind of, wow, did you
excellent.
Hear that? I'm kind of slipping,
yeah, it's like,
to the way that John MacArthur pronounced discernment.
Oh, discernment.
Discernment.
Is that the same way? Is that the same way that he pronounces alcohol? Or?
Ooh.
Or does he not pronounce? Does that not come onto his lips?
That's not his vocabulary.
Oh, that's not in his vocabulary. Okay.
That's not in his vocabulary whatsoever.
I feel like I'm gonna get a call from Grace Community or something tomorrow. Like, get a knock at my door.
Well, you know, the water that Jesus turned into wine wasn't really wine. It was grape juice.
That's right. It was really low fermented. You know, they didn't actually have alcohol back then.
Yeah, it was grape juice.
It was grape juice. Forget about the fact that we didn't know how to stop fermenting until like 1800s.
It was in the 1800s.
You know.
Well into the 1800s.
Oh, come on, Welch. You ruined the church, Welch.
Maybe Welch came up with that in order to propagate his sale of grape juice. You know what? That stuff that Jesus actually turned water in was grape juice.
That's right. Wait, it went from
brilliant
grape juice
marketing.
To craft beer. Like a good founder's breakfast stout, you know? I wouldn't know, though. I'm 20. All I do is get to see pictures of it everywhere.
Yeah, you know what? I'm concerned about that. I wonder if I should call the authorities.
Am I not allowed to look at pictures anymore of alcohol?
No.
Or is that a breaking of like the 11th commandment or something?
Well, I was thinking the 13th, but...
Oh, okay.
So, this thing is basically going to be awesome. I don't know what we're going to populate the rest of our time with. We have 15 minutes. This is usually a 30-minute block of time. And
I could go on for an hour and a half just being hilarious.
Just being hilarious?
I mean, yeah.
Being hilarious. Well,
I can. Do you want to hear a joke?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I don't have one. I just wanted to know if you wanted to hear one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Was that?
No, I did want to talk a little bit about maybe what I'm doing on my blog, actually.
Okay, yeah.
On the Reform Collective. So this year, man, I was thinking it wasn't going to take up the whole year. But looking at it, my series on the Reform Collective might actually take the entire year. I'm going to be going through the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith.
How could you not?
Which is going to, oof.
How could you not think that that was going to take a whole year? That's a,
I don't know.
A lot there.
I don't know. I mean, I have one post out on it, other than the introduction, and it's only half of the first article.
Yeah,
it's just over general revelation.
only the first article of the confession.
Like the first article of the first chapter.
Yeah.
Like half of it.
So basically, it's going to take a long time. You know, there's 32 chapters.
Yeah, it's going to, I hope, maybe I have to do one every day or something. I don't know, but nobody wants to read what I write every day.
Well, if you did it every day, then it would be done in a little over a month. But, you know.
Well, that's if I do an entire chapter per day, but I didn't even get through 1/6 of the chapter.
I like to write every day.
On my first. I like to write every day, too, but then, like, I mean, I can't, you know, listen to all my, like, 7 podcasts I listen to. I mean, I got to get my daily dose of the briefing.
Yeah. You know,
Al Mohler's my homeboy. He doesn't know it, but he is.
You know, I am just finishing up my very short, brief series on covenant theology. I started the other day, and I only did 3 posts on it. The real reason I did 3 posts on it was because there are just a few really big things that I think need to be not necessarily, well, maybe popularized in the sense that they need to be brought to the forefront of thought when considering things like baptism and things like that. So I only wrote on the wavetops pretty much of covenant theology and made some distinctions, and hopefully, I don't know, hopefully they're edifying.
Did you become a paedo-baptist in the process?
Definitely not. If anything, I grew in my convictions for baptistic federalism. So definitely, you know, I don't want to say anything here that will spark a baptism debate.
Why not? Baptism debates are the best.
But I don't want to spark debate, but Presbyterianism is wrong.
Yeah, that's great, considering me and you are the only Baptists in the Reform Collective right now.
Yeah, that's another thing. We didn't talk about that. you and I are the the two guys whose this brainchild belongs to are the only two Baptists in the entire collective, except for Bush.
Yeah, but he said he's kind of like on the fence, and his
he is on
theology
the fence.
Series is making me kind of... It's very Westminster-y.
Yeah, he is on the fence. But, you know, I know John from school. Him and I went to school together. And he grew up Presbyterian. So I think he's kind of – he doesn't really know – well, he knows. I mean, he's very, very smart. He puts me to shame. It makes me feel stupid. Not intentionally, but, I mean, he's brilliant. But he's just kind of, like, caught in the middle, and he takes these decisions very seriously, which is good. So – he's just kind of describes himself as being on the fence, and I don't know. We'll see how that goes. He was reading a lot of Turretin not too long ago, so that's.
Oh no! Oh no! Turretin will turn anybody. So will that that Covenant Theology series by Ligon Duncan.
Oh yeah.
Out of RTS, yeah. I'm scared because that's one of the schools I'm looking at going into, and if I go there, I don't know. I might need to go with my shield up or something.
Yeah, are you actually saying that there's a chance that you could turn to the dark side?
There is absolutely no chance. The day I become a Presbyterian is the same day that I become a theonomist and a Democrat.
And a gun control supporter.
And a, oh yes, oh yes. I would be linking arms with Piper everywhere.
Linking arms?
See, I'm just trying to throw all the big names under the bus. Maybe that's how this podcast will get out.
Oh, man.
I'll just have, like, a bunch of phone calls and emails from just all the big names. Like, hey, I heard you trashed us on this this podcast show.
I'm going to share this on the Desiring God Facebook page.
Something tells me that they will not listen to it.
Probably not. They got too much to do.
I feel like they're pretty busy.
Yeah.
They do a lot of stuff.
But you know that old John Piper is under some heat right now, isn't he?
Oh yeah. Well, he's not packing heat though.
No, definitely not packing heat.
Definitely not packing heat.
Although he might want to, given the heat that he's under.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, still, he would just let it happen, I guess. No, honestly, I see a lot of the reactions to John Piper's stance on guns, and you know, as much as I disagree with it on every level imaginable, I feel like people are like throwing out the heresy card for something so minor.
Yeah, I feel like it's well, there's also, I mean, you gotta also consider the fact that there's some borderline slander.
Oh no! There's not some borderline slander going on. There's some for real slander.
Full on
going on
slander
by some certain people who have blogs and are known to slander.
Yeah,
which I won't throw that name out.
Oh well, I've had several interactions, I'm sure, with him in the past. I'm thinking of who you're thinking of. So.
Yeah, we're both thinking of a certain Baptist person.
Yeah, yeah.
Because at least Presbyterians aren't crazy. All right.
Yeah, that's true.
I've learned that. They're pretty level-headed and they're pretty smart.
Well, yeah, that's true.
They're going to take me out of context now.
I'm going to take that little clip. I'm going to snippet that, and I'm going to put it somewhere where it's going to count.
Yes.
I don't know what that means.
Put it all over the pub, or sorry, the drunk tank, since we're on this. Oh, man. Hey. I mean, I might be like driving down all your viewers on one podcast, or I might be driving them all up. Like, oh yeah, amen. Yeah, Jason. Woo! I don't even know if I introduced myself. My name's Jason, by the way.
Do you think we're gonna? Oh yeah, this is Jason. I think I mentioned. I think I threw around your first name at the very beginning, but that's about it. Your picture on
Jason
Skype.
Henry.
This is hilarious because your picture on Skype just says JH.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
Well, I just logged in with my. With my Outlook account, because I have no idea how to sign up for a Skype. I've never used Skype once in my life. So.
Hey, do you think we're going to get people on the Reform Collective Facebook page that oppose, I don't know, blogging? Or oppose other things, and then they're going to troll the Facebook page? Like kind of like, you know how you get on the Reform Pub, and people are like, I can't believe this is a pub.
Oh, yeah, you got people like, oh. Man, I can't believe you guys drink. Alcohol is sinful.
You guys are not Christians.
Yeah, I feel like you're speaking to the wrong audience, bro. Like,
yeah.
I mean, not all of us in there are of age, like me. So I kind of just like sit my Dr. Pepper and just watch the news feed while everyone else is sipping their like $10 drinks. But man, they're just preaching to the wrong audience. So I mean, obviously, we're gonna get some people on the Facebook page saying, you know. Blogging's dumb. You guys are just like speaking to a wall, and you know sometimes I feel like I'm speaking to a wall. But
yeah,
hey,
that's true.
I've been getting some messages and some texts and some calls from people saying like, "Hey, thanks for your posts that you put up on the collective. Like, they've been really encouraging. I'm starting to understand theology a little bit more." Which I mean, that's all we're about, you know. We're not just for the people who, you know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's all about that one. If there's 100 readers and only one person found it edifying, I mean, it's worth it. It was worth it to write it. But I've already had somebody try to refute my covenant theology on my post, and I'm like, you know what?
That's right. I approved that comment last night.
I wondered who.
I read that.
I was wondering why. No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad it was.
I was hoping that you would respond to it.
I did.
But I mean, you can go in and delete it if you want.
No, it's fine. That's it's great. I encouraged. We want to be objective and be fair to both sides. So I'm glad that somebody got on there and commented that way. I was actually hoping for that. And I invited them to, that's another thing. We at the collective, we sound all like professional. But
Oh,
we
yeah.
here at the Collective, we want to, make writers accessible as well. So, I mean, everybody's got their own email address, right? I mean, everybody's pretty much accessible whenever, somebody has a question or even like a concern about what one of us has written, that can be addressed at, through email correspondence with the writer. I try to make myself available too. I mean, with the guy that commented on my Covenant Theology post, I invited him to email correspondence, and I think that would be good.
Yeah, keeping that dialogue open is really
Open
important
door
because
policy.
yeah, open door policy, just like those the good old professors. Those are my favorite professors. I want to say, hey, come on anytime and
Anytime.
talk to me about anything. And
The ones that are
I mean,
like,
even
call
if
me
it
at
is just a
midnight.
blog, you know.
Yeah. Even if it is just a blog. Well, but one day we're gonna have a building and a headquarters and, counseling centers and everything else, so.
And then we're going to start church. We're going to start serving communion on Wednesdays.
Yes, with milk and cookies.
Milk. And I was thinking, now hear me out on this one. I was thinking Red Fanta and Hawaiian sweet rolls.
That's not even a
Right?
good
I mean, how great would that be?
description. That's not even. Oh, man.
Oh, no. I wish that I had not heard of somebody actually doing that, but that's like a for real thing.
That actually happened?
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm not just pulling this out of my butt. I mean,
You know how many topics we've braised over this podcast that we could actually divide up into actual podcasts in and of themselves and talk about these things? Look, I mean, we just talked about something that we could have a whole podcast on, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper or the regulative principle and why that's the biblical principle to establish worship with or whatever. And look at that. I mean, we covered all those things in a podcast which was purposed to talk about the Reformed Collective.
yeah, I mean, that's basically what the Reform Collective is. It's just like a big hoopla and mix mash and oh, what am I thinking of? Like a feeding trough of theology.
A feeding trough of theology. It is a
This may be a little higher class.
collage of theology.
Okay, I feel like that kind of better represents us and doesn't make us sound like pigs.
Yeah. I mean, I picture like an old lady who made a scrapbook and it has a bunch of different cool things in it. That's the Reform Collective.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, I have a question for you, Josh.
What?
A little off topic, but I mean, I guess what's not off topic in this podcast, right?
Go for it.
All right. Question I got for you. It's a doozy.
I hope.
What church do you go to out there, out in SoCal?
What's my what?
What church do you go to out in
Oh,
SoCal?
I go to Grace Bible Church. It's here in San Diego, right off the 805 on Balboa Avenue, or close to that. And small church. We got a congregation in between. Well, if you count members, if it's just members, probably about 60 to 70. And if including visitors, our congregation swells to, I don't know, maybe around 100 on any Lord's Day. And so, yeah, and my church also, this is, we have an evangelism initiative that happens every Saturday. And we go out every Saturday and herald the gospel at this park that is referred to as Balboa Park. And there's basically, it's just the gathering together of every worldview you could possibly think of in one place. They all come there on Saturdays. And so obviously it leads to a bunch of people walking around trying to figure out what truth is. And so we're able to provide the light of the gospel there by God's grace. And I think that's unique for a church that small, for a church that small, considering you don't even see churches that are, larger churches that are reaching out in that way on a weekly basis anyways. And so, especially from a Reformed perspective, evangelism from a Reformed perspective, because it does make a
Yeah,
difference.
which is, yeah, that is definitely, I feel like some of the greatest preachers and the greatest people who have done just a huge amount of evangelism have been Reformed guys. I mean, just think
Of
about
course.
Charles Spurgeon, you know?
Well, the problem with America's, well, I mean, even, you know, George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards, Charles Spurgeon, the problem, though, with today's Western evangelism is that it divorces evangelism from the context of the church. And that's a problem when you consider that evangelism really is nothing without the church, and it's really nothing without a principle of discipleship. And so what we try to do with our evangelism here in San Diego from a Reformed perspective is not divorce the evangelism from the context of the local church, nor do we try to divorce it from discipleship. So our goal with evangelism is to not only herald the gospel, yes, that's great, but is also to, as we meet Christians who are already professing, to invite them to a place where they can grow in their faith. And so that's you know, that's paramount. But, you know, in today's evangelism, there's a tendency to just walk around with a big sign or maybe herald the very vague, simple message of the gospel, but yet just, I call it hit and run evangelism. You kind of just throw it out there and then you leave and go somewhere else and nobody knows who you are and they'll never meet you again. Not saying that God doesn't use that. I think God works in spite of that, but I don't think that's the structure of evangelism as portrayed in the Great Commission. So
yeah, definitely. The way I like to think about it. Oh, sorry about that.
Well, I was going to say, now that I've just talked your ear off, maybe you can come back with something.
Yeah, I was just going to say that the way I always like to think about it, in a way that a friend's dad actually put it to me, he said, evangelism is just a means to discipleship, and discipleship is just a means to evangelism, which is just a means to discipleship, which is just a means to evangelism.
It just keeps
and on
going.
And on and on.
Yeah.
And it keeps, you know, going. I guess you could say Jesus kind of set up that model. I mean, I'm not trying to be biased here or anything.
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, go and make disciples. It's not just go and shout the gospel and walk away, but go and make a disciple. Go and make disciples. It's very involved, the Great Commission, but that's not really observed a whole lot. And I'm not trying to dog on any one particular denomination or group of evangelists. I'm just saying that that seems to be the norm, as I have been around in the Southern California area. That seems to be the norm of evangelism. And so I think it's really important to always, and I think that the local church, and even, you know, the universal church, to an extent, is undermined by this kind of model, this modern framework of evangelism. I think the local church is undermined in that it is separated. There's a distinction made. Evangelism is autonomous, or thought to be autonomous, from the local church, and it's not the case. And so then the gathering of saints is undermined. The fellowship of the saints is undermined.
Yeah, that works a lot into the fact where Americans are very individual and they feel like they can do church in their own home. You know, they feel like I can worship God on my own. And even like some very ecumenical Christians would say something like, you know, the church is all of us. We're all the universal church. And they, so in saying that, they take away from the authority of the local church.
Right.
And also, I mean, on the other end, you got people who are like, well, God's the one who saves. God's the one who does all the work. Mm-hmm. We're just the means. And they totally throw that fact that we're the means off to the side. And they just say, oh, well, I'll yell the gospel and God will do the rest of the work.
Right.
It's like, well, I mean, how does God work? God works through his people.
Yeah. And that's almost like a hyper-Calvinistic understanding of it's almost with, well, I'll just sit on the couch and God's going to save whoever he's going to save because he's sovereign over salvation. So,
yeah, just ignoring every command.
Ignoring the obligation of the individual Christian. But
and that'll be. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying that'll be the. That's kind of like the silver bullet that anti-Calvinists will say to us, like, "Hey, look at this. You know, you guys don't even have to evangelize because God does all the work and all this stuff." And like, I would say, like, you can't really. I'm not even going to go into that.
That's another podcast.
So, yeah, that's another podcast.
Maybe we should do a podcast on evangelism after this one.
You know what? I'd be totally fine with that. I'm always down to talk people's ears off.
But as it is right now, we're like 5 minutes over time. So thanks for coming on and taking your time to talk about the Reformed Collective and evangelism and church and stuff, which will probably be the title of this podcast.
Awesome.
So, so have a good one, man. And hopefully this was enlightening as to what the Reformed Collective is going to be and what it is already. So praise be to God.
Amen. Amen. Well, real quick before we leave, quick, I'm going to plug myself on my social media. Is that okay with you?
Do it.
All right, because I'll be tweeting and I'll be Facebooking all of this Reform Collective stuff. So first of all, follow us on the Reform Collective Facebook page. Very simple, facebook.com/Reform Collective. You can see us in the Reform Pub. We'll be all over that place. I mean,
yes,
we're just a bunch of goofballs in that group.
Yeah.
And my personal account will be just facebook.com/Henricks.Jason. If you don't know how to spell that, look it up. And then my Twitter and Instagram, which I'm sure you don't care about, is JW Henricks. So just
Sweet.
Thought I'd go in there and
remember
that into your podcast.
Of course, of course. The more the better. You know, also remember that the website is www.reformedcollective.com, and that is where you're going to get or find all of this content, all of these wonderful blog posts. So
just go straight to mine. That's the only one you'll need.
Yeah, just go straight to... What about the deal with the blog?
I mean, I guess you can go... It's kind of an afterthought, I guess.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later. And I'll see you listeners later on another podcast. And I guess... I don't know. I won't really see you, but I don't know. You'll listen later on a future podcast.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sure I will.
All right.
Deuces.
All right, deuces.